Test, test.
Okay, you look normal.
Test, yes. Test, test.
Thank you.
Test, test.
That's what I'm going for.
Oh, you look normal.
That's what I really am like. The highest aspirations.
Yeah. Normal.
Like a normal person.
Yeah. I'm normal human. Thank you.
All right. Welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Mazeroff. With me, as always, Pastor Nate Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here. Still pretty successful.
All right.
I'm going to be honest. When we started this 7 years ago,
yes.
I did not know that "How we doing, Patrick" was going to be my catchphrase. This is my thing now.
You need to start the way you mean to continue in all things.
This is what I've learned. There. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. Well, you know, we all make choices.
We do.
We all make choices.
This was a
that
choice
was very
I
carefully
did not
edited to not say poor choices.
Yeah, a choice I did not know I was making, but we did make the choice.
Nor when, did it say good it. Choices.
When we launch our real podcast, this has really been more of a practice podcast. We'll be ready.
That's right.
With the catchphrases and slogans.
Yeah, we do have a new website coming up, and our podcast is going to be moving platforms, which is not going to affect anybody in any way, shape, or form. But on the back end, it's going to be moving platforms, so we could use that as an opportunity to like completely rebrand ourselves.
We could.
That's true. The people in charge are very, very smart. They send very, very long emails that are very hard for me to understand. But I trust them completely.
That's where we're going. Yep.
Yes.
In charge of what
the website?
Website.
Yeah. The website. Yeah.
Yes, they're brilliant.
They know exactly what they're doing.
Yes.
And there's a reason that Patrick and I do not do their jobs.
Like, yeah. Can we dumb this down a little bit? Can we throw in some analogies? Yeah. That's
any chance a coloring page could be involved?
Right. I know.
That would be helpful.
He sent an email going over like five different options for website hosting.
And that was
like,
too many.
It was intense.
You need to choose from two.
Or one.
Even that,
choose and let me know.
Right, give me the bullet points of like the salient details here.
Give them to me as a Star Wars character,
right?
And then I'll be able to wrap my head around what the pros and cons.
Right, so here's Obi-Wan Kenobi. Right.
Like, okay,
here's
Luke
Skywalker.
I got it.
Right.
Okay, old Obi or young Obi?
Young Obi. Here's Anakin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you know potential downside, but really powerful at the beginning.
Sure, that's sure.
Right. Yeah. Right. How long do you need it for?
Right.
The front end is pretty great.
Yeah.
The front end is not good, actually, in the prequels. Anakin sucks from the get-go.
Yeah, that's true. He's a cute little kid.
And he's also got a crush on, like, a 40-year-old lady.
I don't think she's 40, but yeah, it's weird. It's
All right. So let's talk about domestication of animals.
Sure.
Oh, that was an excellent pivot.
In the Star Wars universe or in...
Right.
Like porgs?
No, porgs
Chewie,
are so cute.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Is Chewie an animal? I don't know.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean, he's a species.
The
we're all
Wookiees.
Animals, right? Humans are animals.
We're all animals.
We're all animals.
You
we're
heard
all,
it
we're
here
all species.
First.
I will say, this is an embarrassing thing for me in Star Wars. Every Star Wars begins in a galaxy far, far away, right?
Correct.
Yeah. It only occurred to me recently... like within the last year, that means like our galaxy still exists as it is, but also there is another galaxy. Not like I always thought of Star Wars as another universe, but no. Star Wars is supposed to be in our universe and just in another galaxy. And it was only recently that like occurred to me that all of this was happening in like their version of the Milky Way.
A long time ago.
But it was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. But it was in their version of the Milky Way, not like across a whole bunch of different galaxies. Like, we're going from the Milky Way to this place, all across the universe. It's like, no, this is one universe.
Yeah.
They're in our universe. They're in another Milky Way.
You know, I wouldn't trust its scientific.
I understand that, but like, it wasn't about the science. It was about like the scope of like this is supposed to be happening in our. Yeah, it was mind blowing for me.
Yeah, I love that for you.
Thanks.
But are Wookiees animals?
We're all species.
Well, these are animals. All right, raccoons.
Those are not animals.
Those are animals.
Those are monsters.
Are showing early signs of domestication.
Oh.
Okay.
All right. If you want a raccoon pet,
I do not.
It's coming. The time
Dude,
is coming.
Raccoons are way too smart to keep as pets. If you keep that thing as a pet, it's going to take over faster than AI. It is going to be all up in your stuff. It's going to get into your locks. It's going to do all the things.
Here,
you don't want a raccoon
but
pet.
They're cute, though.
But then they destroy your stuff.
This is from Scientific American. So.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Wow, our friends.
Highbrow today.
We're going to be coming in here from the Atlantic pretty soon.
I know.
City-dwelling raccoons seem to be evolving a shorter snout. A telltale sign, a feature of our pets and other domesticated animals.
What? What crazy talk is that? Are they implying that somebody with a long nose is less domesticated than like a short nose?
Animals.
Right. This feels
animals.
Like you can get racist real quick. So
our pets,
really,
feature of our pets and other domesticated animals.
I mean, monkeys have a short nose. They're not domesticated.
Okay. Yeah, what else doesn't have a nose that's not domesticated? Fish. Yeah. Fish don't have a nose.
In your face, scientific American. Right.
Disproven.
All right, so here's the thing.
Like, what has a long nose? Okay, horses have a long nose. They're domesticated.
Do horses have a long nose? They have a long
My
face.
My dog has a long nose.
There you go.
There you go. Maybe your dog should not be domesticated.
He's, yeah.
That's, I've met her dog.
I'm
that's
not sure
true.
My dog is alive all the way.
Okay. So here's the thing. The study here is laying out that, one, the domestication process is wrongfully thought as initiated by humans, with people capturing and selectively breeding wild animals. But in reality, it is the opposite. Animals become habituated to human environments.
Okay.
Here's from the study's co-author from the University of Arkansas, Little Rock. Biologist Raphael.
Do we trust
Leash.
It?
Right.
Out of Arkansas.
One thing about us humans is that wherever we go, we produce a lot of trash. I mean, that
true.
Seems
that's
right.
Good.
That
all right.
Seems
all right.
Okay.
All right. Yes. We'll give him that one.
And if you have an animal that lives close to humans, you have to be well behaved enough. And that selection pressure.
We as humans have to be well behaved.
No,
enough?
No. The animal has to be. Yes.
That because could be my whole tagline as a person, honestly. Yes. Well behaved enough.
Well, like early dogs and early cats were originally, drawn to trash or mice or things that were living in the trash. And then over time became less afraid of people.
Okay.
And they wouldn't run away when they saw people.
And that got bred
and
out
then,
of them.
And then that became like, then they started being part of, our. Mm-hmm. Our mm-hmm. communities, things like that. And so now we're seeing raccoons are doing the same thing. Raccoons want to be adopted. They are in your trash being like, please take me in. Please take me in, people. Because they know the good trash is on the inside.
Right.
Yeah. They're little criminals. Raccoons are trying to steal your stuff. That's, yeah.
Oh, they're cute, though.
I do not want a raccoon. I do not want.
I know. You don't, want the
animals
want,
you
have.
You don't want any animal. Yeah, so,
I like animals fine. There's a place for animals and there's a place for me.
Those
two don't
the
necessarily
same place.
Meet.
Yeah.
All right. So raccoons in urban environments do have a smaller snout, 3.5% shorter.
Shade.
Than their rural cousins. Those country raccoons.
I still don't,
with the big noses.
I still don't understand what the smaller snout has to do with this.
Breathing up all the city raccoons' air.
Like, why would a domesticated animal get a smaller snout? Why is that genetically advantageous?
Do they look cuter? Like, are we more likely to open our doors and let them come inside if they have
they look more human
snout? Like,
I think so. I think it's partly that they just look cuter.
Hmm.
I think that's ridiculous.
So they're self-selecting theoretically for appearance.
So the next step.
Oh goodness.
The next step
is to see if our this is from. Raphael Leash. I'd love to take those next steps, see if our trash pandas in our backyard are really friendlier than those out in the countryside.
I would love for him to take that next
How
step.
Does one
How's
assess,
he going to do that?
Yeah. How do you assess the friendliness of a trash panda? How does she assess?
Yeah.
I don't know. How do you assess friendliness?
In a raccoon? I mean, I know how to assess it in a human. How do I assess it in a raccoon?
If it doesn't maul you, that's a good, okay, check.
Play some games.
Right.
Let's go to trivia night.
Okay. We can invite some raccoons to trivia night.
Yeah.
If it tries to tell me about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Is that a mark for or against?
I don't know. It depends.
raccoons are pretty freaking cute, though. That is true. So, and a smaller snout maybe makes them cuter. So,
Maybe.
Yeah, time will tell, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe our grandchildren may have raccoons as pets.
Maybe.
Something for them to look forward to.
I want to live in that world. I'm just saying,
I watched this whole thing yesterday about how when we first domesticated dogs, they did not bark because wolves don't bark. They'd make a little sound to warn each other. But we selected the noisier puppies because we wanted an early warning system as
Man,
humans.
Our ancestors are the worst.
And I know. I was like, come on. We could have had a great thing going there.
I know.
I mean, wolves do howl.
But it's pretty.
But do you want that at 3 in the morning in your room? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know which is worse. A wolf, my wolf dog howling know, in the living room or barking at the doorbell on the TV.
Sure. Yeah.
Which, by the way, that's an official Beyond Sunday platform. Eliminate doorbells on TV shows.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Get rid of them.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
Who uses a doorbell anyway? Anymore?
Exactly.
Nobody's coming over.
But somehow my dog knows. They know just like I know. Right. Whoever's ringing the doorbell is not a person I want at my door.
No. It's like I'm turning off all the lights.
Bill's just trying to help you out. That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to our main topic.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
Time for a downer.
Is it? Oh, yeah.
It is. Oh, yeah.
This is from our...
Elise forgot what we were talking about. Yep. We're, in her defense, we're recording two today. It was, you know, unclear and unspecified right. which one we were doing first.
Right. One of them is more cheerful than the other.
One of these things is not like the other.
This is from our friends over at Christianity Today.
Woo.
Our friends.
This is from CT. Russell Moore, who is no longer editor-in-chief, by the way.
Oh.
He has stepped down. He's still a writer, because this is new.
Is this like a scandal that happened?
Did he get fired?
I don't know. He stepped down. They had an interim, and they just appointed a new editor-in-chief.
Is it you?
It's me.
Oh.
Yeah. Congratulations.
So,
this is my
We're
going to
be using a lot of CT today.
It is not me. It is an African-American woman, but I don't remember her name.
Okay.
So, but congratulations. Congratulations to
fumbled
to you, woman, who is now editor-in-chief of Christianity Today.
So. I'm sure she's listening. So.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, I referenced her. So.
Right.
This is from Russell Moore. The church sexual abuse crisis should prepare us for the Epstein files.
Yikes. Womp, all right.
Yeah.
In what way?
We've got questions, right. Russell.
So, this is not going to be about the Epstein. We're not a news podcast, and this is, it's somewhat early, I guess, still, and kind of wading through all of what is going to happen.
Yeah, takes a while to read 20,000 pages.
At time of release, the House and the Senate have passed releasing Epstein files. Who knows
what
will come
happen,
of that?
Sure.
What will be redacted for, you know,
whatever.
Safety or protection. I have no idea.
Yep.
You know, things have come out that are weird, that are hard, that are sad and gross.
Yeah.
And this from Russell Moore said this, I've never seen anything like it. A friend said to me, mentioning the latest news report of the battle, release of the files for Jeffrey Epstein. I responded, I wish I could say the same.
Ooh.
Yeah.
This is somebody who worked in
churches.
Like churches, right?
Churches.
Yeah. Russell's the one who's saying, "I wish I could say
Russell."
Right?
Yes, that's Russell Moore.
And his history is with the church, and I think he actually
he was the head of the ethics department,
the Southern Baptist
Committee, and then was routed out
because he wanted to basically, handle this in a more ethical manner. And so he has seen lots of this. Yeah.
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 All right, so what are we going to learn?
Okay.
What's he got to teach us?
So he is going to say, I've seen a predictable set of seven steps play out in bad church or ministry responses to sex predators in their midst. A pattern we can see here, and everywhere the veil is lifted off this kind of evil. So this is a pattern we see when veil is lifted off evil. And this is what we're really going to look at, is the seven steps.
Okay.
And
seven's a very holy number. I like that.
Yeah.
And as we kind of, as a nation, maybe grapple with the release of maybe the most prolific sexual human trafficker ever?
Yeah. Possibly.
Possibly.
I hope there's not another one.
Unfortunately, there probably is. Yeah. We just don't know who they are.
Yeah.
And they're just not in America.
It would be nice to think that that's the pinnacle of ugliness.
It would be nice.
It would be nice.
There's one thing we know about humanity. It's that we, like the raccoons, can never be underestimated for our ugliness.
Smaller snouts. That's the key.
But smaller snouts.
Learned about raccoons.
That's what I took away from it.
So I'm gonna go through these seven. We'll kind of look at kind of like, these are how churches respond.
Are these like stages of grief?
These are just like seven ways that churches kind of land when these things, bad ways that they can kind of
land. So it's not like necessarily like steps you move through, but these are like different places.
These might be steps. So step one.
All right.
Okay.
This is not a problem.
Denial.
I love it. Yep. I've definitely heard this one on the news, like within the past 24 hours. There was a talking head. I don't remember who it was on Fox News who was basically trying to justify.
Oh, no, that'll get there. We'll get there.
Oh, too soon.
Yeah.
This is not a problem. We're talking about churches.
That's not this step. You are correct, but that's not. We're going to get to that step.
Saying that it's not a problem is not this step.
Then we'll get there.
Okay.
We'll get there.
All right.
Just trust me.
All right.
I know I am the only one who read the article. So.
So what is this step?
This is saying, like, whenever the subject of abuse comes up, some of these people will say, well, we all know each other at our church. We're like a family.
So it's untrue.
Yeah, it's
would
not.
Would be the assertion. Like, oh, well, it's not real.
Ah.
Or, yeah, we're protected from this by having bishops, by not having bishops, by having being part of a larger denomination, by not being part of a larger denomination.
So is this like what you say before something has happened?
Or like when the first steps of allegations come out.
Yeah.
Like, no, this could not happen
okay.
here.
All right. I understand. I now understand.
So this is the first. This could not happen here. That's impossible.
Yeah.
Because we're a family.
So to our credit, I'm not saying that Lord of Life is perfect by any means, but to our credit, when we do our safe sanctuary training, which is how we train all of our adults who work with kids and vulnerable adults, the first thing we do is a whole section on why it could happen here. Like, that's step one, is saying, like, we all have to understand it could, and we need to work to protect it from happening here. Yeah. So go us.
Yay. Pat on the back. And see, it's not a problem.
That's right. So, it can't happen here.
Couldn't happen here. Step two. Yes, it is a problem, but the other side is worse.
Oh.
What's the other side?
What aboutisms, yeah.
Any other side. It doesn't matter what side, you know, if anything we can point to of, like, they are doing it worse.
Yeah.
And I've seen this, like, of, like, hey, here's churches have, like, these historically bad, you know, predators, especially preying on teenagers or young children.
Sure.
And online I've seen, like, yeah, but compare those statistics to teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, like, again, like, that's the other side is actually worse.
Yeah, teachers are way worse than churches. That's
And I, again,
to be clear, is not the point. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So again, statistically, that's not a good way to approach it. It's not necessarily super accurate. But when we land on yes, but the other side is actually worse.
Yeah.
Whether that's those liberals, those conservatives, they're actually
that other denomination, that church down the street.
Yes,
yeah,
they're actually worse. So yeah, it was a problem here, but it could have been they handle it worse. Number three, and this is the one you mentioned. Yes, it's a problem, but it's not as bad as it could be.
Sure.
Yeah. And this is from Fox News.
Yeah.
Megyn Kelly.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay.
Yes, who was arguing that, like, hey, Jeffrey Epstein or these people are not technically pedophiles because that's prepubescent.
Yeah.
And these girls are postpubescent.
Yeah, they're 15 instead of
15 instead of 8.
What a way to split hairs.
Right?
Yeah. And that's a weird, I mean, like, I'm not saying she's wrong. Like, that is factually correct.
It is a legal distinction, I suppose, but it is still gross.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you have to get into how old is the child?
Right.
You've lost the plot.
I think we've landed on something that is
already
That is pretty gross. Well, look, I mean, like, 15 is at least, you know, post-pubescent.
Yeah.
It's not like it's 8.
Yeah.
Not like it's 5.
So this would be the thing of, like, I'm imagining a congregation where maybe a thing started between two people who were cross age, like, so maybe there was a youth leader who was, like, in their early 20s and someone was, like, 16 or 17, and somebody says, well, my wife and I are 6 years apart, and, you know, they're in their 60s now, and, like, so it doesn't seem like a big deal, but it's really inappropriate, and I can see how things like that could come up. And
he does kind of mention,
not doing a good job of explaining that, but
he says years ago when accusations were made against former Judge Roy Moore, and I don't know if you remember this, he was running for Senate in Louisiana, he was not elected. He, as the ethics chair of the SBC, had to respond live on television to one of his supporters that suggested, even if these accusations were proven true, Mary was probably a teenager, and Joseph was an old man in the Bible. So what's the big deal?
While that is probably accurate for the Bible, it's probably true.
And I mean, just a minute, Mary not been an old man.
He was definitely older than she was.
Correct. Yeah. Yes.
And would have probably been old by the standards of first century. Like,
so, like, 40?
30s, 40. Yeah. It's unclear, but definitely unclear. Older than her. It's not the world we live in now. Like, that. Right. Yeah.
Correct.
I mean, like, Abraham and Sarah also, like, you know, had an inappropriate relationship with their slave and forced Hagar to have a child. Like, that doesn't mean that the story is, oh, go do that. Like, that's not the moral of the story.
Just because it exists in the Bible doesn't mean that that's what's being lifted up in the Bible.
Yeah.
Correct. But so the strategy is ultimately the same. Nobody's saying this is good.
Right.
But here's how it wasn't nearly as bad as it could have been. And then by default, it's like, well, if it's not that bad. Like, we land on, like, well, they were consenting at the time, even though.
Can they?
Can they?
Yeah.
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 They didn't say no.
Right.
you know, like, you know, all these things, you know, which would be a problem. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure this is going to come up a lot.
Yeah.
Of,
yep.
Well, if you're thinking or hearing, she looks mm-hmm. 19 in these photos, you've got a problem.
Yep.
Like, again, these are, yep. this is a way that people will try to, you know, muddy the waters
sure.
mm-hmm.
of
mm-hmm.
a sexual abuse scandal. Step four.
God, we're only on four.
Yeah, and there's seven.
Yes, it's a problem, but the cause is too important.
Oy.
Yeah, I hope that that's, like, I see where that comes out in the church. I'm 100% see where that comes out in the church. I hope that that's, like, that we're not going to say, like, oh, no, the cause of Jeffrey Epstein having his private island where people can do this is too important. We have, like.
Yeah. Of course not.
I hope that that's not the thing that we fought. But I, yeah, for sure in the church. The church is too important. We have to protect the church. Circle the wagons.
Yep.
So many pastors have been, quote unquote, protected by congregations, and allegations have continued, or they have not been appropriately disciplined outside of the congregation, so they've been able to move to another place and commit further atrocities. Like, I mean, it's
yeah.
just,
yeah.
it's gross when we don't handle this correctly.
When I was in college, I went to college right up the road from Bob Jones University.
Sure.
Which, if you're not familiar, is kind of a bastion of... very conservative. I don't even know if it would be Baptist, but very conservative mm-hmm. Christian teaching, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a university. But there was a scandal while I was in college at Bob Jones about a number of victims that had come forward having been, you know, the gamut of assault mm-hmm. and abuse from pastors and professors affiliated with Bob Jones and their congregations. Mm. And they were... heavily discouraged from reporting it
sure.
by counselors at the school, because think of what that would do to those congregations mm-hmm. and to their families and all of that. So, like, that's for sure a real thing that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think of the four steps thus far, I think this is the one that's easiest for churches to fall
Absolutely.
Into. This yeah. is the biggest mm-hmm. shot, because yep. the cause is really important.
Sure.
Like, the whether the cause is, like, your personal churches or the global church, the cause is something we believe in on this podcast. I believe in what the church is doing. I'm an employee of mm-hmm. the church. And so it's easy to kind of think, like, when I think of, like, the Catholic Church's mm-hmm. sexual abuse scandal of, you know, shifting priests from one, it wasn't that they're like, this is not a big deal. It's, but the church is more important than yeah. the victim.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And we have to protect the church.
Yeah.
That's what has to happen right now. And this was their way of figuring out how to protect the church.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's going to reference, like, hey, Bill Clinton, you know, used, like, a sexually inappropriate thing in the mid-90s.
Yep.
And some feminist supporters of Bill Clinton had to be facing kind of a thing.
Sure.
Like, do I still support him? Because yep. his cause of bringing about legal yeah, abortion sure. or mm-hmm. legal... You
yeah.
know, more women's rights
Other feminist
is
causes,
more
sure.
important than this one personal woman. Yeah. And this might happen, I think, a lot.
That's a fair point.
In
yeah.
the mm-hmm. Epstein files here
yeah.
of, like...
The cause of the...
yes, he yeah. did this and it is awful, but look at the good he's doing for our country.
Right.
Might be something that people are going to
whoever
rationalize.
Whoever he is, right?
Whoever
there's,
the he
yeah,
is.
There's going to be multiple he's, and they're going to be on all sides of the political
yes.
spectrum.
Yes, this
be.
Is awful, but think yeah. of all the good he has done.
Yeah.
And... that is going to be the, I think this is
that's a fair
the
point.
Biggest trip up for people to kind of land on.
Mm-hmm. Within the church, at least, I mean, because we are a podcast about faith, allegedly. within the church, I think our challenge is to always remember that the church is bigger than what we see it, right? Like, you know, when we try to protect the church, we're forgetting that God is the one who's in control of the church. We're forgetting yeah. that God is the one who's always going to protect the church, right? And so to act as though we have to take this action to quote unquote protect the church, it, to me, is ludicrous. I get it. I know where it comes from. I understand where it comes from, but it's ludicrous in that God is the one who protects the church. And if we can't yield that to God, to trust that God is going to maintain the church through us handling something like this, then we're forgetting where our faith is supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so interesting because, like, my instinct and what protecting the church means is opposite from that, right?
Sure.
It's like, no, get that out of here. Not
sure.
in my house. Like,
yeah.
we yeah. don't want that.
100%. And I think that is the way to protect the cause.
Right.
In reality, is to yeah. keep it from these things, that no cause any cause that is solely placed on the shoulders of one individual, mm-hmm. where their fall ruins the cause for everybody else, is not a well-run cause. Yeah. Like, yeah. Get a better cause. You know, like, that's just the reality. Like,
that's why we have three people on this podcast, so that any one of us, yeah, any one of us can go down, but the podcast will sustain.
Right.
Sure.
Sure.
I put my finger guns on two co-hosts. Yes, it's a visual on an audio podcast. It's
right.
Not,
it played
really
well.
In the room. Yeah. Step five. The whistleblowers are the problem.
Oof. Yeah. Because they don't have the true cause in mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is definitely the system. Everything was going fine until you said these things.
Is this the same as victim blaming, or is this distinct in that it's like, it's not that you're a victim, it's that you shouldn't be talking about this at all. It's just your fault for talking about this.
That's going to be step six. Okay. This is victim blaming. This is straight up, the victims are the problem.
Okay. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's confusing because a whistleblower is not necessarily the same thing as victim. Because, like,
yeah, Russell, come on.
See,
no wonder he's not the editor in chief anymore.
And I choose to talk about it.
Yeah.
That's not the same thing as the victim talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is definitely the, you know, Barbara Walters, mm-hmm. years ago, was interviewing a young actor, Barbara Walters.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. A young actor, and he was talking about how he, as a young actor, was abused sexually in mm-hmm. Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And she was like, you're attacking an entire industry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, blaming him for speaking out against his own abuse was insane. Yeah. Like that's an mm-hmm. insane take.
Mm-hmm.
But those are always the first steps before, hopefully, everything collapses.
Sure.
So this is a step that people will land on. It's like, this could ruin everything
mm-hmm.
if
mm-hmm.
you just need to suck it up, basically. Or, yes, this is bad, but this is going to be you're the problem by drawing attention to this thing that's bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Step six. Stop asking if it's a problem or you're not one of us.
Ooh.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, within the congregation, I think this is where people get really, I mean, removed from congregations or leave congregations because they want to, like you, Elise, right? They want to take that stand and say, this is a problem. We need to get this out. And then the leadership says, nope, you're gone.
You're the problem.
Yeah. And man, that's not necessarily attacking the victim, but it is just gross to think that someone who's pointing to a problem becomes the problem themselves.
Yeah.
And I can't think of another like thing to equate it with.
Have you seen this happen much?
I've heard stories of it.
Okay.
I will say, you know, I had a member of the congregation. They actually weren't a member here. They were visiting Lord of Life, and they were coming from another congregation in the area, and that congregation was going through some division. This is over some LGBTQ stuff that the congregation was dealing with, and they visited Lord of Life because they were on the side of they wanted to be fully inclusive, and their congregation was leaning away from that, and they were figuring out what mm-hmm. to do. And so they had taken some time to step back from a congregation they'd been involved with since they were a child. Right? They had grown mm-hmm. up in this congregation. They were now adults. They were married, had a kid, right? Had been there for years. And they went back because there was going to be a congregational meeting that they wanted to participate in. And they were told when they were there, because they hadn't been around for 3 or 4 months, they were told that they had been removed from the roles because they hadn't been active and they were not allowed to be present for the meeting.
Oy.
So, yes, I have. I mean, it's a different issue, but yes, I've seen it where people are like, if you're not with us, then you're out and I'm just going to remove you and it's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that this is definitely like everybody, when a scandal breaks or hits like this, you know, we want safety, and safety is going to be within the members of mm-hmm. our whatever community that is. And so like,
and within the members of the community that agree with us. Yeah.
Yeah. And so if somebody in that community is saying like, I think this is a problem, we need to address this, like the threat of like being a rabble rouser and you're going to remove your community is strong and it's hard. I think from the Epstein Files, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene mm-hmm. for many, many years was quite of in lockstep with the MAGA movement and with President mm-hmm. Donald Trump, and veered mm-hmm. on the Epstein file release, and now is saying she's getting death threats and all these mm-hmm. type of things. Mm-hmm. And this is the, oh, stop asking this problem. Now you're no longer one of us. Yeah. Even though for years was in lockstep with the MAGA movement and with President Donald Trump. And now by breaking on this one issue, death threats. You're no longer one of us.
Yeah.
You know, like,
and it is a weird world in which I suddenly think Marjorie Taylor Greene is making sense. I will just admit that.
Yeah. Sure. It's cognitive dissonance.
Did not have that on my bingo card. Yeah.
Maybe self-preservation, maybe getting off a sinking ship. I don't know.
Maybe she's a sleeper. I don't know what I'd be surprised by anymore.
Chose the time, you know. Yeah. But yes, I think this is a thing. Like, and churches and communities do this because they ultimately want things to feel safe, even if it's even if
I think this goes back to the cause, right? I mean, we get rid of you because we're protecting the cause. I will say again, Lord of Life's not perfect, but it's harder for me to kick somebody off the rolls than at other places. So
because there's more barriers to entry for you to do that, like you can't just like
control all the so I mean, so we have a thing in our constitution that says this is what, as long as you do this, you're in good standing. And so if someone can prove that they've done those things, I can't remove them.
Yeah,
unless they've like really stepped out of line, and then there would be an action of counsel and things like that.
Yeah,
like if you were the bad plan, right?
If I was the
If you were Jeffrey Epstein, we could say like, hey, you know what, maybe maybe you're not going to be allowed to be
honorable. There should be a way for you to remove a Jeffrey Epstein from the roles. Yeah. Like, I would support that.
We also remove you when you die. So Jeffrey Epstein has already been removed. Moot point.
Burn. You're dead.
I don't think that was the burn I was going for, but he has died.
He's dead.
Step seven.
Oh, right. Seven. We're still on this. Okay.
Last one.
There's a lot.
We're back to the beginning. This is not a problem.
How did we get back to the beginning? That's only six.
We circled back.
We circled back.
So there's no...
There's no end to this mess. Yeah.
This is the... We're still talking about this? We dealt with it.
That happened years ago. It's not an issue anymore.
This is the... Yeah. From members of the news media or from the politicians. Mm-hmm. We're still talking about Jeffrey Epstein?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That dude's been dead for 5 years. Why are we talking about him still?
Yeah.
You know, like... It's time to move on. We have to move on as a nation. This is this is not a problem anymore.
Yeah.
Or this is like a church, like, it was 60 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We got to move on.
Yeah.
Hi. So there's no, like, in this list, there's no option where we're like, oh, no, we're going to deal with the problem. And
well, he's only describing bad ways to do it.
He's trying, these are the steps that bad churches go on.
Okay. I missed the bad churches portion. I thought this was just like the way the seven churches stages. Go. Like the seven... stages of church. I don't know.
No.
Like sometime we're going to come around to acceptance,
Okay.
We're going to get there. Yeah. I think the alternative, right, is how should congregations, how should we be moving through this as people of faith, right? That's probably the question that I don't think Mr. Moore answers in his particular thing, right? He's describing how do churches do this poorly, and we're seeing a lot of that play out in our culture around us.
Yeah.
How should we be doing it, right? In a lot of ways, it's just... We'll do the opposite of this list, right? I mean, it's not necessarily that simple, but, you know, include the people who are raising the alarm, you know, give credence to the victims and support the victims and care for the victims, you know, making sure that we're saying it can happen here and it did happen here. And so we need to keep talking about it, right? Mm-hmm. The fact that, you know, I hear this about like slavery or the Holocaust sometimes, right? People say like, that's old news. I'm like, no, we need to talk about that now. There's a reason that in Germany, it is against the law to act as though the Holocaust never happened, right?
Yeah.
Because we need that to be a part of our story. We need to remember that was a part of our story so that it doesn't happen again. And that needs to be a part of our lived experience in the church too, right? We need to remember the sins of our past, quite literally, whether we were a part of that or not. We need to remember the sins of our past so that we can prevent them from happening again.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And to acknowledge, like, if it could happen here, so we need to make sure all steps are in place
to prevent
it, and two, to respond to it.
If
an atrocity or so... Proper safe sanctuary rules.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we call the process of keeping minors and vulnerable adults safe.
Your whatever. Name is not as cool as our name. That's fine.
Whatever you call it is whatever. But like, is there if you're listening, are there policies in your church to keep youth and vulnerable adults safe?
Correct.
And if the policy is Jesus and hope, it's not good enough. I'm just going to be honest. Like, that is not a good enough policy.
Yes.
Like, you need better policies. It's not our volunteers are good people.
No.
It's not a good enough policy.
No.
Like, those are just not good enough. And your volunteers may be the best people, but that's just still not a good enough policy.
Correct.
And then when atrocities do happen in our community, we have to be ready that these are not our steps. Like, mm-hmm. we have to be ready for these things. And when we see them, we've got to be willing to call them out. And I would say, especially when it's on your side of yes. whatever aisle mm-hmm. it is,
yep.
church, religious, political, social,
wedding,
racial, wedding, yeah, yeah. whatever aisle.
And what other places do you have aisles? I don't know.
HEB. This does not happen in the chips aisles, okay?
Not by the Doritos.
That's soda junk, all right? Get that.
I can't control what happens in that weird health food aisle right. down there. That's not my aisle. I'm the chips aisle guy. This is where I have control. But saying, like, this is, we are not doing this, and shutting these things down. Yeah. And so the first step is saying, this is a problem.
Yeah.
And again, none of us know, by the time this podcast is released, Epstein stuff could have blown up in
yep.
unimaginable ways
yep.
from here, or nothing could have happened at all.
Right.
But when we deal with sexual abuse within mm-hmm. our community, within our world, we've got to fight against these steps because they are.
Sure.
There's a reason people land on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're alluring. That was a weird way to...
We can't end on alluring.
Somebody else say something. Okay.
That's the only choice.
Again, unclear if it was right. good or bad, but right. we all made choices. All right. Well, since we've gone full circle, if you enjoyed this episode, you can find all of our episodes at... BeyondSundayPodcast.com, and you can send us an email, BeyondSundayPodcast@gmail.com. And what did we talk about? Oh, yeah, let us know if you'd want to have a raccoon as a pet.
I mean, yes.
That's what we talked about.
Is the answer.
That is. A long time ago, that's what we talked about.
Now.
The domestication.
I think you're
raccoon.
Missing the point of the episode then.
The nose?
The nose.
The nose, yeah. That's okay. The nose, yeah.
Do you think raccoons are cuter now than they used to be? There you go. Send us that.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Like, I've had many conversations. Raccoons are getting cuter these days.
All right. And what are we judging this on? Memory or photos?
Yeah.
Or...
We should put that on the table for dinner tonight. Yeah. Are raccoons cuter than these?
I mean, look, it's a world we live in now. If you want to see a picture of a raccoon, you can do it at any time. And when I was growing up as a kid, I couldn't. And so you just, kids today, you really are living in a really beneficial
world. Very raccoon forward. Yeah.
There's so many raccoon videos.
I know. And like, if you want to see a picture, if I wanted to see as a kid a picture of a raccoon with a hat on, never could happen.
Right.
I could Google it right now and see hundreds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of them would be real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're like, oh, I want to see a picture of a raccoon eating a birthday cake, I would never get to see that. And now I could.
What a world.
What a world.
What a time to be alive.
What a time.
All right, end this thing. Come on, get out of here.
All right, thanks. We'll see everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.